This is awesome. Y'all come on in and find you a seat, and we're going to got a special program for you today. Like every day is very special. In fact, every day is Thanksgiving Day, except for the food. That's probably a good thing there, but you know, just think of it that way. And I would like to start the day out to say thank you to Pastor Buren, Pastor Will, Pastor Keith. Just thank you for what they do, for who they are, for their our teachers. I respect them so much, and I'm so thankful for what they do, for what they teach. And I think every day when we go out, we should say, thank you for today. Thank you for the lesson. It's just something we need. We got to have it. But I'm going to introduce you in a minute to someone else very special. You won't believe it. They're so warm and kind, and loving, beautiful, perfect person that you've ever met in your life. So y'all don't go away, all right? In just a second, I'm going to make that introduction. You're one of them, Bobby Joe. You know. But I was reading the Bible this morning briefly, and Janet said, "How are you going to talk and hold the Bible and read it too?" But I'm going to work it out. It's just a very brief. Hold that a second. We're almost there. Okay. Well, they just, you know, one of the advantages of getting older. Some people look at it as a disadvantage, but one of them I look at, you don't hear as good or see as good or do things like you used to do, but think about it. If you can't hear real good, think of all the negative you don't hear. You know, all the bad things going on in the world. Think of the things you don't see. Isn't that awesome? And that's the way to look at it. You know, so I enjoy getting older. It's just a pleasure. But this was in Ephesians 3:7. You know, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege for serving Him by spreading the good word. Now, that was Paul speaking. But think about it. I think we all have the privilege. Is that the way you look at it, is spreading the word? It's an honor and a privilege, just like standing here today. This is a privilege for me to do this. And I thank you, and I love every one of you. I welcome you here. I hope you get as much out of today as I know I will. And, you know, another thought comes to mind is with Jesus. You know, there was one thing that Jesus didn't have that you and I have. That sounds like that's going to be ugly, don't it? But think about this. He never had his mind infected with that mentality thought of impossibilities. Everything that Jesus thought was a possibility. And I think that thought ran through my mind the other day when we were listening to Brother Ralph Martin. And you think about it, the possibilities, they're just unlimited. Who you are, what you can do, but that's it. And you know, every one of us, we have a fight or a struggle in our life. Have you ever seen a game or a boxing match or something you thought, boy, that was fixed? They knew in the very beginning that that's who's going to win that before it ever started. You know, you and I, we're the same way. Where you are, whatever your battle in life is, whatever your fight is, it's fixed. It was already determined who's going to win before it ever started with you. If you just think about that for a minute, you realize when Jesus died on the cross, it was fixed. Jesus rigged your fight, okay? He already made you a winner. Whatever you do, you are. The game's over. But now, what I want to do to introduce, as I promised you, a very special person. If you would y'all please just stand just a second. I want you to turn to someone either on your left or your right, and I want you to look them in the eye and ask them, say, what do you see? And that's who I'm talking about. That's you. You are that very special person. You're so awesome. So welcome. Just sit back today. Enjoy. Take in what Pastor Buren is going to share with us. Thank you.
Everything I want. Worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Before the service, Lauren and I were talking about how we failed this week so many times. Filters being down, saying the wrong thing, looking the wrong way. I'm notorious for my tone and my looks. It can be pretty bad. And I told Michael yesterday, I was like, I failed at it all. I didn't have my positive thinking and whatever. It just didn't go well. But then I remembered a verse, and there was an old hymnal about it. And Lamentations is one of those books you don't really visit, but it says, "Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. The Lord is my inheritance, therefore I hope in him." And so I was thinking, well, I got to wait till tomorrow morning. I might as well just, you know, go the rest of the day and be nasty. But it's even every moment, he's got those mercies just waiting. And I'm like, God, yeah, I messed up just a minute ago. Can you help me on the next one? And it's never ending, ever, never ending. So don't lose heart. Fail, and he's there for that forgiveness. And just like this song is going to talk about in those waves, yeah, Peter started sinking, but what happened? Jesus was right there, and he was like, come on, I'll help you out. Let's go. And that's how he is. So don't lose heart.
Embrace, for I am yours. be blessed, to be lifted high. We surrender everything to you. For your unfailing love, for loving us so outrageously. We accept that today, and we're giving it right back to you, God. We trust in you. Because you love us for no reason other than just loving us.
My faith would be made strong.
living within us. Thank you for your power, for giving us everything we already need to live a life of godliness and love. We accept you, God. Receive our love today.
Amen. You may be seated. Sweet. These guys are good, aren't they? Love it. I know many of you are prayer warriors, and many of you are on our prayer team. Maybe some of you didn't even know we had a prayer team. We're connected via email, and different things are prayed about throughout the week, different events or things that are taking place. But we'd like for the whole congregation to be praying for this team. They have a real desire to write their own music. And we know God is stirring something right now with the I Am Who God Says I Am and what's taking place with that, but they are going to even be planning a retreat to get away and to begin writing. So be praying that God's creativity will begin flowing through them and as that process takes place and is going on. So, if you would like to be a part of the prayer team, you've not ever done that before, or you want, just call the church office, talk with Connie or myself or any of the pastors, and we can get you connected that way. Ray Goolsby wanted to just kind of give a praise report. Many of you have been praying for his son-in-law that had a heart transplant, and within 4 weeks he has already passed all 4 rejection tests. Don't you wish you could pass rejection tests? He's already passed all 4 tests on the rejection test and is doing wonderful and has already gone home. So that's just a great praise report. As our ushers are coming, we'll receive our morning's tithes, offerings, and alms this morning. We're going to give a couple of you a challenge up here. We have the children that have come in, so we'll be able to navigate that. But I want to remind you that at 4 o'clock today is our movie. Amazing Love is the name of the movie, and that will be shown in here. And then the children are doing a movie. If they don't want to watch the one that's going to be shown in here, they will be up in the children's department. And then our chili cook-off is at 6 o'clock. So 4 o'clock is the movie. 6 o'clock is the chili cook-off, and the chili cook-off, rather than being in here, is going to be up in the new youth room. And I say new youth room because many of you may not know that it has been renovated, and so we want a lot of you to be able to see that, what's transpired. So if you are bringing chili, make sure that you have it here before 6 o'clock, and we will have a place for you to plug your crock pot in up in the youth building. So we want to do everything up there with that. So let's pray and let's bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. We can worship you. We can receive, Father, Lord, your words. We can bring our first fruits, our tithes, and our offerings and our alms. We ask you to bless those to the furtherment of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your faithfulness. Is Lori in here? Lori Bush, Lori and Brian? Lori and Brian? If I could get Linda, if you would slide over one chair, and if I can get Lori and Brian to come sit right down front for just a second, I know I'll put you on the spot. We are honoring Lori. Lori has been serving the children, EWC Kids, for the last 5 years. And that is why these guys are in here. And so we put together just a little bit of a video, and then Pastor Buren is going to come.
Hi, Lori.
Hey, Lori.
All right. Well, you know, I've written you countless thank you notes and talked to you a lot about how much I love you. But I just want to say in front of everybody, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I think the only people that love Aunt Lori more than me, Russell and Cade, are Rebecca Jackson, Jackson Bush, and Madison, and Uncle Brian.
Sometimes I feel like there's only a couple of us, your husband included, who see all that you have done over the last 5 years. I mean, if there's somebody who has worked way more than their paycheck, it's definitely you, girl. You have been such a blessing to all the children, but also to me and to your whole entire team. I mean, kind of like a big sister and someone who makes me want to be a part of something good and a great role model. I think you're awesome.
Miss Lori, you're so awesome. You provide so much stuff for us, like the lesson plans and that are so awesome. And then the games that you find are really cool. And we're going to miss you a lot, being director. We loved it when you were.
I mean, you're fun, you're creative, you're silly, and you love the Lord, and you let that show to all the kiddos. And I'm really going to miss having you in charge, but I'm thankful that you found us a great replacement. And look forward to a lot more fun with the EWC kiddos and you side by side, and anything else fun that we're going to do in the future, because I know we will, because I love you, girl.
Thank you, Miss Lori, for being us at Eagles Way Church. We love you so much, and we wouldn't be here without you. You've helped us so much, and you've been such a great teacher. We wouldn't be able to operate without you.
I love, 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 love you, Lori. I'm so very, very grateful for you. You have been one of those people in my world and in Jackson, especially in his world, that you have just loved him and have taken care of him and have given to him your time and your goodness. And I'm so grateful for that. I feel like a lot of the goodness in him is from what you've given to him and what you've input into his world. And in doing so, I fell in love with you. The watching you give to him, I think, was one of the reasons that I fell so much in love with you. And I love talking to you. I love sharing with you. I love the honesty that our friendship is. I love that you're one of my go-tos. And I'm so, so very grateful for you.
Miss Lori, we're going to miss you really much. And we liked all the things you did. And we really had fun when you were the teacher. And you worked really hard and did really good. And we're really going to miss you.
And I'm so thankful for all that you've given to so many children and so many families. And we're just blessed. Our church is blessed. We're all so very blessed for what you've given. And I love you, and I thank you more than you could ever know.
Miss Lori, she tries and tries to keep the kids occupied. She makes all sorts of crafts. She makes all sorts of stuff. And she does a really good job of it. For example, the birds and the secret agent badges. And she just does a really good job here. And I want her to know that everybody here would really miss her if she were to ever to leave or have to move, and that we all love her.
Miss Lori, you've been here for as long as I can remember, and we've had so much fun with you as our pastor. And we're really going to miss you. We love you very much.
I say good off my mommy, my daddy, Jesus, Nani, and Jesus, and also I'm born.
Say, we love you today, Lori.
You're all for
Thank you, Miss Lori, for being an amazing role model and always having something kind to say. A funny story I have is when your dog tried to eat me and I ran into your house screaming. So, love you. Bye.
Hey, Miss Lori, we want to say that I'm going to miss you so much, and you were so helpful with the classrooms, and I'm so sad that you're leaving, but every single time we were boring, you would always make it into a fun game, and we will really miss you, Miss Lori. We love you.
Awesome. Brian and Lori, can you join me just a minute? You know, Brian and Lori grew up in this house, and it's so great when you see those that were just little ones and came up and then became great servants and did what you did. And Brian, thank you for, behind every great woman is a great man. And you've checked in so many of our kids over the years, and we just love you, love you, love you. And want to first of all give you this. Today we're going to talk about, just for a few moments, about keepsakes. is like something that you keep because it reminds you of something good. So this is a little keepsake. Just open it up and let me explain a little bit about it. It's a it's a bracelet. Yeah. Aww. Oh. Yeah. And on one of the charms says EWC Kids. And the other one says Deuteronomy 6:5. Deuteronomy 6:5 says that to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And you've taught our kids to love the Lord with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength. It goes on to say in Deuteronomy, teach your children. Teach your children. Put it up over your beds and just let them know all the good things of God. And this is a little gift that maybe the two of you go off one weekend. And or you can come and take us all out to eat. Just let God be your guide in that. But I just love you so much. And you've been such a blessing to this house.
Thank you.
And she's going to be teaching school, so she's going to still continue doing what she's doing. Going to be what grade?
Anything sixth grade and up.
Oh, so you're going to do the arts part?
Yep.
Awesome. So why don't you stand here? I want to pray for you, both of you. Father, I just thank you for Brian and Lori. I thank you for the investment of the kingdom of God that's inside them. And Lord, I thank you for the years they've served here and this, but we know now she moves on to this new time in her life and standing still before children and imparting, God, the things that you've given her. And we bless them in every way, in every area of their life. And you've said, Lord, if you, as we give, we're giving back. And all the times they've given, all the things they've done for our children, you're just going to bless them abundantly for it. And we give you praise and honor and glory for that in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, man.
Bless you.
Love you. All righty. Rise and shine. The light has come. Somebody would get my podium for me, I would really appreciate it. I'm not going to be long this morning. I'm going to pull a Ralph Martin on you. I'm going to do one central thought. Now, that's pretty different for me to do, to hang on one thought for the whole message, but that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about one thing, and going to do a little reinforcement of this past Wednesday night. Looks like we're going to have two Wednesday night positive thinking schools in a row. This will be the first time we've had it in this time. But before we do, we're all products of our history. And there's one thing that every single one of us have in common this morning, and that is a history. We have a story. And we have a history here with a man who went on to his reward just yesterday morning at 2 o'clock. John Holloway went to his reward. And if there's anyone who deserved to go to his reward, it's John Holloway. Most of you, many of you know him well. For those that don't know him, part of Eagles Way Church, what Eagles Way Church is today, is because of him and his wife, Elaine. They served here. John pastored Integrity Fellowship, and we merged churches back in the 80s, mid-80s, and something at that time, and even now, that doesn't happen. Churches split, but churches don't come together. And during that era, we had two churches that merged together, Evangel Assembly and Integrity Fellowship, that really made up who we are today. And he's just was a tremendous, tremendous man of God, tremendous teacher. He moved on from here to join the Episcopal Charismatic Churches, and he pastored in Thomason for many years. And he had a stroke, seven, 8 years ago. And he's pretty much been disabled since then. He's standing before the throne today, and he's rejoicing. And we are just so grateful for him and what he's done. Next Saturday at 11 o'clock in Sharpsburg, Georgia, at a Christ the King Church, there'll be a memorial service for him. We'll be giving you more information as we learn from that. If you want, they instead of flowers, they've asked that a donation be given to the family, and you can give it to the Diocese of the Mid-South Cathedral of Christ the King Church and the address and all, or to make it simple for you, if you want to give to them, just give to Eagles Way Church and Market John Holloway Fund. We won't do anything for the next 2 weeks, and after that, we'll just send one check, but we'll list on that, not on the check, but we'll give a list for them to know that these were all the people who contributed. So keep Elaine and the kids in prayer, and be grateful and thankful. If you knew him, if you didn't know him, you know him, because if you know us, you know him, because we're part of him. I want to talk about, again, I am who God says I am, but I want to talk about it from the standpoint that I am my past, I am my present, and I am my future. I'm my past, I'm my present, and I am my future. We've talked a lot about David over this series, and there's one scripture I want to look at this morning. After David had defeated Goliath, David did something that we all do from time to time. And it says that David took the armor. He took the Philistine's head to Jerusalem, but he stored the man's armor in his own tent. How many's got keepsakes? Something that you keep because it reminded you of something good that happened in your life. That's what we do. Now, if you got a keepsake for something bad that happened to you, you might have a problem. But most of the time, we have a keepsake. We keep our kids, you know, graduation certificates or this accomplishment or this accomplishment. Well, David took this armor. Now, you got to understand something about this armor. This armor weighed 125 pounds and 15 ounces. Don't ask me how I know that. I just read it. I wasn't there. But 125 pounds and 15 ounces. I don't know why they didn't go ahead and say 126 pounds. But this is how heavy this was. So every time David moved his tent, he had to take this 126-pound armor with him. But you know what? It was worth it because it reminded him of the greatest victory probably in his life. The greatest victory he ever encountered, because he stood up to what nobody else was going to stand up to, and he was victorious over it. And that was a keepsake for him. And don't you know how many times that he must have thought, you know, in throughout his life, when he was going through some difficult times, that he looked over here and saw that armor and remembered what God had done. You know, if I gave you all the scriptures today that the Bible talks about remembering, it would take forever. I was just looking through a concordance and looking at all the times it says, remember this. God told Israel, said, when you go into the land, and you go into the fields that you didn't plant, and you eat grapes that you had no plant, you didn't plant, you have cities you didn't build, remember the Lord your God. The Bible says that when we have the Eucharist, when we serve communion, it says, do this in remembrance of me. That every time you do it in remembrance of me. Jesus would tell his disciples, don't you remember the loaves and the fish? Don't you remember what I did here? So they would come to an obstacle, and Christ would say, don't you remember I did this? Don't you remember I did that? But oftentimes we have the tendency to remember what we should forget and forget what we should remember. You see, we choose what we remember. We choose because, let me tell you something about our memories. Our memories can haunt us. Our memories can be devastating to us. Our memories can either help us or hurt us. And it's all determining on what memories you choose to remember. What thoughts you choose to continue to think on. You see, let me tell you something about remembering. Jesus, the scripture says that God takes our sins and he puts them into the depths of the sea to remember them no more. Now, he didn't say to forget them. He said, I choose not to bring it back up. I choose not to purposely remember it. I choose not to go putting back those memories together and remembering it.
I told someone years ago that they had the greatest mind I've ever known because they could remember every bad thing that ever happened to them from childhood up. I wonder, did anything good happen? Did anything good happen in your life? Because we have to decide what we're going to remember. Jesus decides not to remember my past, not to remember my sins, to push them aside, because that's not what he's about. And we all need to realize that we got to choose to remember the good things. Someone told me one time they went to Israel, and on a Holy Land journey, this little boy came up to him and had a stone. He said, "Would you like to buy one of the stones this is one that David had of the five when he went against Goliath?" Now, I'm sure that stone wasn't really one of the five, but you can imagine if it was, what that would mean to have that stone. The Catholic Church are noted for a lot of the relics they have and things that they have to remember all the good things that has happened in the past. And we're going to have to decide, and there's three kind of memories that we... Let me read Joshua chapter 4, first of all, verses 6. It says, after they crossed over Jordan, he says, they set up a memorial of stones. And says, we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as memorial among the people of Israel forever. Another passage of Scripture says in Deuteronomy, When your children ask you in the days to come, what meaneth thee by these stones? Then you'll tell your children, we were once in bondage, and God set us free. You know, we need more altars probably hanging on our walls than we do art. We need more things to remind us of the goodness of God. This is to remind our children, you know, your mom and dad was on the verge of just really falling apart, and God intervened, and we yielded to him. You know, one time in our life, this was going on, but God was there to see us through. And I'm choosing today that I'm going to remember those good times. I'm going to remember those good things. There's three types of memories we have. One is a sensory memory, and that's a very fleeting memory. It doesn't mean a lot. It's just things that we don't have a lot of understanding about. We can't remember a lot about it. Then there's short term. What you ate yesterday. What you ate last night. But if I probably asked you, what did you eat last week? You probably couldn't remember it. 99% of the things that happen to us are fleeting. And they're sensory. And they're short term. But there are things that happen to us that are long-term. And those long-term memories are memories that are associated with intense emotions, positive or negative. Amen. That's just how God made us. 99% of our past experiences are quickly forgotten because they're barely felt. But there are things in our life that you can remember, and when you remember it, it's not barely felt. You feel it. You feel it. And you feel it deep. You can go back to that time that you fell in love. You remember that? Joe remembers that. Do you remember that time you felt that first, feeling? For that person you fell in love with, can you go back and still feel that feeling? Yeah, man, I remember it like it was yesterday, and I can think about that first date I had with Barbara, and whoa, it feels good. And I got through that by the grace of God, because I told her on the way to where we were going, there might be some marijuana here. Are you okay with that? And she said, well, and when I got there, they come running out the door and yelled, Buren, did you bring it? And so I barely made it through that. And I thought then, this is over, this date, this this fantasy of mine is gone. But she bore it out, and I just remember then after that talking to her on the phone for hours and remember those feelings. I also remember a time I came home with a broken heart, and a girl just took my heart out and threw it on the ground, stomped on it. I mean, I'm telling you, she hurt me bad. I thought she was the love of my life. I could not believe it because I thought of her all the time. And oh gosh, this is the one for me. And she, one night, out of nowhere, we had our Sunday night date, and we're out, and she, out of nowhere, she looks at me and she says, Purin, pretty much this is what she said. You ain't going anywhere. That's what she said. And I can't carry on this relationship. I'm about to go off to college, and you're not going to make nothing of yourself. Yeah, I told her, she hit my heart out, threw it down, stomped. That's what I told her. That's what happens. And man, I remember sitting around just, I was so heartbroken. My daddy finally had to just come in there and do what daddy did. Son, stand up. Boy, act like a man. There's more fish in the sea out there. I didn't want any more fish in the sea, though. I wanted this fish, but I finally went on. And after I went on, I was so grateful I went on. And I'm able to sing with Garth Brooks now. I thank God for unanswered prayers because I've got who I have. But we have to choose which memories are we going to remember. You know, I said the other week, and I believe this with all my heart, that David did not defeat every single lion that came his way. I don't believe that every bear that ever came that he defeated. But he chose not to remember the bear or the lion that got the lamb. He chose to remember the lamb, the bear that he got, and the lion that he got. He chose to remember the good things. And you have to choose. I'm going to remember the good. I'm going to bring up the good things. Let me read you a passage of scripture that came across this week. That in Isaiah, there's two, Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah 31, verse 34 says, I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Now this one's better than that one. Isaiah 43, verse 25. You need to write this one down, because this one is the key. This is a key. I, says God, yes, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. For whose sake? You know why? Because if he doesn't blot out your sins and he doesn't forgive your iniquity, he's going to knock you upside the head. He knows that's not how he wants to be. He doesn't want to be revengeful. He doesn't want to be that way. So he says, for my sake, I'm going to forgive you. For your sake, you need to forgive. For your sake, you need to not remember the things that you don't need to remember. You need to choose. Now, you're not going to forget them. God cannot forget what we've done. He chooses not to think about it. That's what he says. I will never think of them again. I'm choosing not to bring up your past. I'm choosing not to bring up these bad things. I only will remember all the good things that ever happened in your life, because you are a compilation of your history, your story. In Tuesdays with Maury, the author was interviewing him one day, and Maury says to Mitch, I embrace every age. The truth is, part of me is every age. I'm a 3, 5, 37-year-old. I'm 50. I've been all of them. I delight in being a child when it's appropriate to be a child. I delight in being a wise old man when it's appropriate to be a wise old man. I'm every age up to my own. And that's who you are. That's who you are. You whatever happened to you as a child, that's who you are today. Want good or bad? It's bad if I only remember the bad things that ever happened to me. It's good if I remember the good things. Now, say, well, you know, I've kind of done both. Well, from this day on, we can just do one. Maybe you have held on to some bad memories. Maybe you do remember this bad thing or that bad thing. Well, today you have an opportunity to turn over a new leaf. Today you have an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm not going to bring up the bad. I'm not going to talk about the bad. I'm not going to remember those things. I'm just going to remember the good things. And I guarantee what will happen is that good things will start to happen in your life. Because it's up to us what we choose to remember. You know, you ever seen some people got, you know, you ever seen people compare scars? You know somebody's got a deeper scar than you got? Man, let me show you what I got over here, this scar right here. Man, well, you think that's something, let me show you something. All right, look at here. And then if you're not careful, they'll say, let me show you something. I got this scar here. And everybody's comparing to the bad things that ever happened to them. How many times people ever get in a conversation, they get in a sword fight about who can tell the best thing that ever happened to them? Did you get that? How many times do you ever hear people going, let me tell you what good thing happened to me 10 years ago. Wow, really? Let me tell you what happened to me 10 years ago. That was the greatest thing in my life. But no, we get together, man, I'm going to tell you what happened to me 10 years ago. Oh, you think that's something? I'll tell you what happened to me 10 years ago. Think you've been through something. My husband walked out on me. Think you've been through something. One person said that about you. Whole church said that about me. Amen. All of a sudden you're depressed. I wonder why we get depressed. I'll tell you why. We start talking about all the things we ought not to be talking about. We start remembering all the things we ought not to remember. Great passage of scripture, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13. And he just had got through with a discourse with the Israelites and the Pharisees in particular. And he says, you know, there's going to be a generation that's going to rise up and, boy, just look at you and shake their head and going, how did you miss this? How did you miss this? And Jesus said a parable. When an evil spirit leaves a person, goes into the desert, and is seeking rest, but it's finding none. Then it says, I'll return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person who lived there, so that person is worse off before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. You tried to clean up some stuff and you tried to get some stuff out, but you didn't replace it with anything. See, that house was swept and it was clean, but it was empty. There's not any place in Scripture that God desires for anything to be empty. In creation, He said, when He created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and it was void, and it was dead. It was empty, and He began to fill it. He created Adam and Eve, and He said, Adam, I want you to go take dominion over the birds of the air, over every creeping thing, and I want you to take dominion over the earth, and I want you to fill the earth. God did not come just to eradicate sin, but He came to fill it with glory. William Barclay, which is one of my favorite authors or commentators. When I read something in the New Testament, I never hardly ever read a passage of Scripture and not go to William Barclay. And this is what he said about this passage of Scripture. Our aim is not the mere negative absence of evil action. It is the positive presence of Christ. A man's life must not only be sterilized from evil, it must be fructified to good. We've said this, we can't overstate it, we can't say it too much. When you do away with negative thoughts, you're halfway there. You're only halfway there. You've got to replace it with positive thoughts. You understand? It's so important. I fought this thing for years. It was doing away with the negative, doing away with the negative, doing away with the negative. But then I got to realize there's more to it than that. I got to replace it with something good. See, my whole life has been that. You know, I looked over my life and I realized that in my 20s was my formative years. That's just when I was getting into the ministry. In my 30s were my intriguing years. Man, everything in the world interests me. Every doctrine was out there. I delved into it. Somebody said it. I searched it out. I went to every conference, everything I could go to. I would, believe it or not, I would get in the car and drive by myself to Atlanta and go to a conference all by myself, looking, just trying to figure out something. In 40s were my wandering years. What the heck do I believe? What do I believe? My 50s were my stabilizing years. And I believe God finally started stabilizing me of who I am in Him. And now my 60s have been the most fulfilling, reflective years of my life. I love the 60s. I thought when I got 60, I can't stand the fact because 40 liked to kill me. It liked to kill me. I thought I was old. Now I'm 60. And 60 I just love. And know what? I'm glad I'm not 40. Oh, I'd love to be 40 if I could be 60 at 40, but I can't. I can't. And you say, I got to take everything in life, let it be something that propels me for better. I went to get some walking shoes the other week, and I wanted walking and running because I wanted to do a little bit of both. And so I never bought any expensive tennis shoes, and so I was at Academy Sports, and I got with this guy, and I said, you know, tell me about the shoes. So he says, and this got me, and this could be, this was a real negative thing, but I decided I'm going to make this positive. And he looked at me and said, well, you know, when we get our age and we get this on us, you need these kind of shoes. Now, they weren't the $29.95. They were the $109 pair. But something down inside me started rising up. And I started to say, you know what, I'm going to take this negative thing. And I ain't nearly as big as you are anyway, boy. I just want to tell him. That's my first thought, but I knew that wasn't positive, Ralph. So I said, I can't tell him that. I don't want to tell him, dude, there's no comparison here. And but I decided, I said, you know, so which do you want? I said, give me those. And inside I said, 6 months, I'm coming back. I'm going to walk this aisle right up to you and say, thank you for these shoes. Look at here. He just motivated me because, buddy, he just made me feel bad for a moment. Anybody make you feel bad for a moment? So I could do one of two things with that. What am I going to do with that thought? What am I going to do with it? What are you going to do with the memories that you have? Are you going to remember the good? Are you going to remember the bad? What are we going to do? There was a man by the name of Saul, and I'll close with this. Saul was filled with a haunted spirit. And when I read this passage of Scripture, I just wrote out haunted house. Now, I don't know of anybody who wants to live in a haunted house. Anybody? Now, I know it's intriguing sometimes. Some people like to watch the movies, you know, watch the sitcoms about haunted. Anybody ever watch them? Come on, raise your hand. You all watch stuff about the haunted house and this little spirit. No, but if somebody said to you, the real estate agent said, now this is a great house, but it is haunted. How many would? Oh yeah, I want that house. I want the house where the ghosts come out at night. I want the house where evil spirits are roaming around and wake me up at night. No, nobody wants to live in a haunted house, but yet they do. Because they live in this house, and it's haunted. And every now and then, that ghost rises up. But what we got to decide, I'm going to clean this haunted house. I'm not just going to clean it out. When you got born again, God cleaned out your haunted house. He cleaned out your haunted house. But you've got, from that day on, it was a journey. It was a journey to replace the good things where the bad things once existed. I like what Bobby Joe said. This is not going to, you're not going to walk out of here and this week. All I can ask you to do and ask myself to do is when the memory comes and the temptation comes to bring it up, remember what God said about your sins. I choose not to think about them anymore for my sake. For your sake, don't think about the bad. For your sake, for my sake, don't remember. Don't continue to talk about the bad things that happened, but remember the good things. Remember all the great things that happened in your life. And what will happen is you'll begin to change from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And you'll begin to mature, and life will get better. Because the best days are yet ahead of you. The best days are always ahead of you. When Jesus turned the water into wine, they said, my goodness, all the other places we've ever been, they got men drunk, and after they got them drunk, they brought out the bad wine. And she said, but you have given the best for last. And the principle of that is, the best for you is still ahead. Your best days are still before you. Amen. We've been through a lot of changes in this house, but I guarantee you, if you'll search your heart of hearts, you'll say, God, thank you that we didn't stay here or stay there. Thank you that we put commas by things that need to put commas by, and we put periods by things that need to put periods by. Thank God that we saw this as the way it is now, but if we see it in a different way, in a greater revelation, we'll move there. You'll be grateful and thankful. We didn't stay where we were then, but we kept moving on and on and on and on. And that's what your life is to be all about, moving on. When the cloud moves, move. When the cloud moves, move. I used to believe that, man, I was hanging over hell by a thread, and the least thing I would do, I'd go to hell. Now, I have not even thought about hell. All I think about is heaven, because I know I'm eternally secure with a God Father who loves me so much and placed me in His hand and engraved my name upon His palm, Isaiah said. He wrote you on His palm. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. Last Sunday of the month, this is the first time we did it. I asked Ralph to do something for me for a few months. And the last Sunday of the month, we're having a special alms and missions giving, and it goes to both. And as the band comes and Ralph comes to share a little bit about this, you have an opportunity to come. And after that, don't leave. I want to pray over Marcia. She's going to Haiti on a missions field. And just thank you, Marcia. I prayed for somebody else not long ago. Just, it's great, isn't it? So God bless you, Ralph.
Great word, Pastor Beard. Great, great word. The art of replacement. To replace thinking, to replace a thought. Oh, for replacement thinking or for to replace thought. First, get it settled in your heart, in your spirit, and your knower. How many know your spirit's got a knower in it? Your spirit has a knower in it. And once you, well, how do I know if the knower is on? You'll just know. You'll just know. Once you get this in your knower, that I have a right to choose because I'm God-like. Only God can choose. And I want you to get in this in your knower, that the motivation of giving is not out of obedience. Most people give because you ask them, why do you give? Well, the Bible says to give. Well, the Lord says to give. And that is a motivational. There's nothing wrong with that motivational, but there's a greater motivational than giving out of obedience. And that's giving out of love. For God so loved, He gave what? His all. When your motivation is love, you can do nothing but give. Because that's all God's about, is giving. Everything God is about is giving. It ain't what you can give to God. What can you give to God? Nothing that He don't already has. Because all about God is giving to you. Even to the point that says, I choose to remember your boo-boos no more. See, that's I am of God like. I choose because of love to give. In the book of Jeremiah it says that we give, that God gives to us sweet to eat, blessings to enjoy, so that we may in turn give back to others what God gave to me. Now remember, anything God has given to you, which is everything you own, from your home, cars, whatever you have. Now you may have thought you got them, but He gave you the ability to get them. And He gave you the means to get them. Even Jeremiah said, we're to take every thought and make it, turn it into making us a prophet. Wow. That's a powerful scripture. Even my thoughts, Job, bring me a prophet. My thoughts even brings me a prophet. That is what the Bible says, a prosperous man. Now, I want you to get in your door. The last Sunday of each month, we give alms to those that have not. And we take a portion which that God has given to us and we lay aside. There's a scripture that says in 1 Samuel 24:24, I believe it is, when David said, I will offer God nothing that did not cost me something. Now we know David wasn't charismatic or Pentecostal, because prior to that, the man who owned the land offered David the land free of charge. Reason I know David wasn't charismatic or Pentecostal, because he didn't say, well, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. No. David said, and this story is found in 1 Chronicles and also 1 Samuel, David said to him, I cannot offer God to God what your gift. I can only offer to God what cost me. So I'm going to pay you the full pair. The full. So what I want you to do, and I did this one time, many times at my church. If you have to write out an IOU and bring it next week or week after next, drop in IOU if you're not prepared today. But always come prepared. Exodus says, never come before the Lord empty-handed. I want you to think about something. What can you do? We told you last month about this friend of mine that was in church who kept telling me he didn't have nothing to give. And I went over to his house and saw he had over $50,000 worth of metal and iron out in his yard that weeds didn't grow over. See, he had it. Because God always gives seed to the sower. That's why we always look for things we have to sow, to give, because we love to give. When Frances went through her closet 2 years ago and just started pulling out dresses, she said, I don't wear dresses anymore. Immediately, she counted it as seeds to sow in people's lives who don't have dresses or need new dresses. Count everything that you're going to give as a seed. I remember our daughter came over, who has more than we do, and she said, oh, Mama, you're not going to wear this dress no more. I like to have it. No. This is seeds not to give to someone who's got. It's seeds to give unto those who do not have. So lay aside something for next month or this month to give, to sell, my daughter went and started pulling toys out of her closet, children's closet, and started selling them on eBay to get seeds to sow. See, if you're looking to give, if you really want to give, you'll find seeds. You'll find seeds. You'll find seeds to sow. And don't give nothing away to those that don't need it. Give it unto those who has need of it. That's the seeds. I'll give seeds to the sower. So your motivation is love. I told Marcia she's going to Haiti. Is Haiti next week? Go down there with the main thought, I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. And everybody you lay hands on, Marcia, to take that blood pressure or whatever you're doing for them, say a, release a silent prayer over them. I bless you. I give to you. The greatest gift you can give is give yourself. Is give yourself. Now, how many prepared to give this morning? Okay. If you do not come prepared to give, I mean, we'll put in an IOU. Oh, now you're putting pressure on me. Good, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do then. I'm prompting you to give. To give. To give. There's a woman come up to Francis one time. She said, you know, I started listening to Pastor Ralph on the positive zone, teaching the positive, and I was afraid of it because I thought it was mind control. And friend said, well, you didn't miss it. That's exactly what it is. Mind control. To control your mind to get rid of negativity and start replacing it with positive. So we want to be like Nehemiah. Give a portion unto whom nothing's been prepared for. Whether it's foreign fields, whether it's the fields of Griffin, whether it's people's fields here in this house. We need you to give. Amen. To give. Come prepared to give. Always come prepared to give something. Amen. So let's all stand. And I want you to take your seed in your hand. If you come prepared this morning, or your IOU in your hand. And I want you to say, Lord, this is my seed. Everybody say this again. Lord, this is my seed. This is my faith. I'm not giving out of obedience. I'm giving out of love. Love is my motivation. Because how can I be of God and not give? Give and give. Would you come at this time and bring your seeds, bring your offering, and place them here within the thing. Someone said, Brother Mark, you're going to bless it. You're blessing it by bringing it. It's automatically blessed. Fresh down, shaken together, run over, shall men give unto your bosom. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You come behind in no good thing because your heart motivation is love, is to give. Give, give. I give seed to the sower. Go home and find seeds and give, and give, and give. And you'll never be without them. God will always restore back to you because God loves to give. God loves to give.
Come down and stand next to your wife here. I want to say a couple of things about your trip that I really feel impressed to say. We're going to pray for her, but after that we're going to sing a song. But it was only several years ago, because of being a teacher, you always feel like you got to say things, you know, and we do. We encourage people by just saying things. But I realized several years ago that my presence speaks sometimes louder than what I say, and that what I'm carrying inside of me is the kingdom of God. And the Lord just wants to remind you as you go to Haiti that just be consciously aware of the kingdom that's within you. And when you're ministering to those kids or this person or that person, even though you may not be saying a word, if you are present in thought that the kingdom of God's within me, then that's going to be ministering to that person. Because, see, we minister from spirit to spirit. And just by being, but you got to be aware of it, be consciously aware that I'm not just helping with this operation or this operation with this child, but what God you deposited in me over the years is being deposited in them. Just go in there. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. And we bless her as she goes, Lord, to Haiti and ministers, Lord, through medicine and the gifts that you placed in her. That, Lord, not only that, but the presence of Christ, the miracle-working power of God that resides within each and every one of us will flow from her, Lord, to so many children, so many men, so many women. And we just thank you, God, that, Lord, that you brought her to the kingdom for a time as this. And we just thank you and we bless her as she goes. Protect her. May your guardian angels go before her and behind her. And goodness and mercy follow her all the days of her life. And we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.